Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
Justification. That is a big word, isn't it? It is a word, dear friends, given to us in the Bible, especially also in the Spirit-inspired writings of the Apostle Paul. In Romans 3:26, Paul proclaims as Holy Spirit-inspired Apostle, God is the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. Today, we are in real danger of no longer understanding nor appreciating the Bible's gospel teaching on justification. I read about a minister who had a talk on the Bible's teaching on justification with a news reporter being in the audience. Well, that news reporter wrote an article on that meeting, and in his report, he said the talk of the minister was on, quote, just a vacation. Just a holiday. That reporter had no clue, you see, about the biblical teaching on justification. Or worse, he was making a mockery of it all. God forbid. What is justification as the Bible speaks of it? The two texts I'm highlighting for this message now are Romans 4 verse 5 and 10 verse 4. In Romans 4 verse 5, Paul states, but to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And in Romans 10 verse 4, the same apostle writes, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. With these and other scriptures, let us study justification as the Bible speaks of it. Justification remains the key doctrine by which the church and each Christian stands or falls. Our 3 points then under the theme justification as the Bible teaches it are 1. A Christian doctrine so important. 2. A Christian doctrine so incredible. And 3. A Christian doctrine so invigorating. Under our first point, a Christian doctrine so important, let me first give the problem that justification addresses. In the book of Romans, Paul, as the greatest New Testament theologian, apart from Jesus, explains and applies the gospel of God's salvation for sinners. In the first 3 chapters of his book of Romans, you may know, the apostle makes so unmistakably clear that we are all sinners before God. As he states in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Jews and Gentiles, everyone. As sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, fallen in sin, all of us, no one excluded, everyone included, except for Jesus himself, come into this world depraved with the guilt and corruption of original sin from Adam. And each one of us is infected and contaminated with actual sins in our thoughts, words, and deeds, in all our life's brief earthly journey. In other words, as Paul also states in Romans 3, verse 10 to 12, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together, Jews and Gentiles, all peoples, Paul means. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good. No, not one. This, dear friends, is the very deep and most serious problem that the Bible's teaching on justification addresses. It deals with the question, how can sinners, fallen, depraved, guilty, corrupted sinners like you and me, become acceptable before God again and stand justified, not condemnable, before God ever again? How can you and I ever be reconciled before God and approved by him with all the guilt and contamination of sin in each and all of our lives? Surely everyone who is a true Christian knows of something of the struggle with this question in your personal journey of life. But here we have to stop and say what is the main reason that the doctrine of justification is hardly known or little prized today. Sadly, in our times, all too many people, also church people, do not take seriously the Bible's teaching about how great our sins and miseries are left to ourselves. On the one hand, people think little of the guilt and evil of sin and transgression of God's law. And on the other hand, people do not consider the perfect and precise, unchanging holiness of God. Before the one true God, no sinner can stand on his own and live. God in his triune being, in all three persons, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you see, is the infinitely Holy One. Today, sadly, because sin is minimized so much, and God is trivialized a lot, the doctrine of justification also is placed on the bottom shelf in the basement cellar, so to speak. It has become tragically a gospel truth virtually unknown and forgotten and hardly valued and prized as it might be and should be. The underlying problem today, explaining so little understanding and appreciation and appetite for the Bible's teaching on justification, is so little, if any, conviction of sin anymore. But when you and I understand something, dear friends, of the perfect and just demands of all God's holy laws, with each of his 10 commandments and all the details of what God forbids us and what he calls for from us in those commandments, oh, then you realize, woe be to us, for we have sinned and are full of sin by nature before the thrice holy God. Do the 10 commandments not convict you too of so much sin in your life, in your thoughts, words, and deeds? Are you not a guilty transgressor of God's laws in countless ways, honestly speaking? Listen to what David says in Psalm 130, verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Do you understand that godly concern from a man after God's own heart? In Psalm 143, verse 2, the same psalmist cries out to God, pleading, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. Oh, it is fair to say, every true Christian is someone led by God's Spirit and Word to true conviction of sin and learning to cry to God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and deliver me from condemnation, which is all I justly deserve of myself for now and forever. The precious doctrine of justification, as the Bible teaches us, is about being moved from the status of being condemnable before God and under his just wrath still, to being justified before God, no longer under his righteous, holy condemnation for sin in any way at all, but rather under God's favor and approval as one without any sin whatsoever. What is your status and mine, even now before God, the judge of all the earth, with whom we all have to do, and whom we all will meet in the final judgment day too, without exception? What's your status? If you won't take God's law seriously and keep minimizing your sin and guilt before God as a fallen, guilty, depraved sinner, you won't care about nor cherish much, if at all, the Bible's teaching on justification. But if you are convicted of your sins and sinfulness by nature, and take to heart how even one single sin, one time only, is enough to condemn you forever before the just and holy God, oh, then the Bible's teaching on justification becomes something you want to listen to, something you need to reach out to, and so come to glory in. You and I and all people on earth are either in the status of justified by God's grace or still in the status of standing condemnable before God as guilty, vile sinners in ourselves. What is your status? Here, let us move on now to our second main point, seeing how justification, as the Bible teaches it, is a Christian doctrine not only so important, but so incredible. It is incredible, dear friends, because with justification, as Paul explains it, we learn God in his grace has provided a sure way, a most gracious way, that guilty, defiled, depraved, hopelessly sinful sinners like ourselves, you and me, may yet be justified before the eternally just and holy God. There is a way, yes, by God's grace, that even the chief of sinners may come out from being condemned and condemnable before God to being cleared and approvable before God. It is a most gracious, glorious doctrine of grace, of salvation, so rich and free, for whoever cries out to God in true faith for his mercy and saving help for Jesus' sake alone. With the Bible's teaching on justification for sinners like us, it is clear God meets us right where we are at with a most astounding free grace gospel message. You only learn this, however, when on the one hand you take to heart we are guilty sinners before God, needing to be saved, and when you on the other hand realize too that nothing we ourselves ever do or try to do or promise to do can make us right with God again. We can never be justified by our own works before the holy God, because for one thing, our best works on our best days are still so miserably stained with sin in one way or another. Plus, just one single fault against us prevents our justification before God, prevents our being moved from the status of condemnable to the status of not condemnable, from the status of guilty to the status of not guilty. One of the greatest tragedies in all of history is that countless millions and billions think somehow, some way, they can on their own, by their own works, somehow, some way, gain God's favor and approval. But listen now to what God's word clearly teaches us, that word that cannot lie. There is absolutely nothing ever that any one of us can do of ourselves to be justified before God. Never, ever, not anyone can make themselves right before God. However, consider now God's doctrine of justification for sinners like us. We may be justified before God by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, in the merits of Christ as only Savior of sinners. Justification before God happens to us when God imputes to us, puts to our account, the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ, the Savior, by grace through faith in Him. To be justified before God is a legal courtroom term involving God's judgment and verdict concerning us. His judgment of no longer seeing us guilty and condemnable before Him, but rather redeemed and reconciled before Him. And now here's a very important point to get. God never justifies a sinner because of a righteousness in the sinner, but because of righteousness outside the sinner only, namely, the righteousness of Christ alone, put to the sinner's account. The moment a sinner looks in true faith to Christ Jesus as only Savior and Lord and calls on Him to save a sinner like himself or herself, that very moment God makes this verdict of that sinner, seeing the person no longer as condemnable in His holy sight, but rather forever righteous and approved and acceptable in His sight, clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus, the one and only Savior of sinners. As one put it in Paul's epistles, quote, to justify someone always means to declare him righteous by imputing to him the righteousness obtained through Christ's sacrifice, end of quote. You see, when God justifies a person, it means God truly and unchangeably, once for all, declares and pronounces as divine judge a person no longer condemnable, but rather now to be righteous before the judgment seat of God, completely righteous. This is so great a wonder of marvelous grace, dear friends. For how can a person who is guilty of so much sin and altogether so unrighteous in so many countless ways be yet declared and legally pronounced by God as perfectly righteous? And you see, it's all because of a righteousness outside of ourselves, sometimes called by theologians an alien righteousness, put to the account of believers by God's grace through faith in Christ, for Jesus' sake alone. You see, God's justification of sinners, we need to see, is more than forgiveness of all our sins. When you and I are forgiven all our sins by God's grace, that only removes the negative in our lives, getting rid of all our wrongdoings before God and our neighbor. But what about all God's positive requirements of loving God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves? What about all the good doing God calls for from us in our lives? Well, you see, with justification by grace through faith in Christ, not only does that include the washing away of all our sins through Christ's blood, but what is included also is the perfect, righteous, good-doing life of the Savior when here on earth, that being put to our account, even the very second God justifies a sinner. With justification, in other words, our sins are put on Christ and washed away through his shed blood, and at the same time, the perfect, beautiful, righteous living of Christ, living in perfect holy love before God and all others, is imputed to us, reckoned or accounted as our righteousness before God. In justification, we are not only acquitted of guilt and cleared before God of all sin, but we are granted positive relationship with God again, and justly so, for Jesus' sake alone, by grace through faith in him, being seen righteous in Christ. Again, as one put it, the righteousness connected with obedience to the law of God in all its perfect holy details and requirements has been earned by Christ and is imputed to a sinner in justification. So justification, you see, is not ever about you and me earning salvation and acceptance and approval from God by our works or by our doing or not doing. But it's only always by God's grace alone, through faith only in Christ alone. Our own works contribute nothing to our justification, never, ever. But it's all always dependent on Christ's perfect eternal righteousness imputed to sinners like us, by God's grace alone. And justification being by faith alone only adds to the graciousness of this gospel. You realize this too when you recognize faith itself is never a work we accomplish, but it too is a gift of God, as Paul says in Ephesians 2 verse 8. It's a gift worked in us by God's grace through his Spirit and Word, convicting us of sin and drawing us to Christ, the only Savior from sin. True faith and exercise in our heart and life is not ever something that makes us worthwhile of any blessing from God, but it is coming to God, acknowledging we have no worthiness, and we come as guilty sinners in ourselves, and we come simply and repeatedly asking the Lord for his own name's sake to be merciful to us. Paul says in Romans 4:16 that the gospel way, the salvation way, is of faith, that it might be by grace. Oh, truly, dear friends, there is nothing so gloriously liberating and totally gracious as the Bible's teaching on the doctrine of justification. And to see this more, let us look closer at what Paul says, actually, in the two verses we highlighted as our texts. In Romans 4, verse 5, Paul says, "But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." What does Paul mean here? Well, he's saying, as an apostle of the gospel of Jesus Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that God justifies the most ungodly, unrighteous sinner who, convicted of sin, cries to God for mercy. The person's faith in Christ, the very second he or she believes, results in God's divine verdict from his throne room in heaven, in that heavenly courtroom, once for all declaring that sinner who comes to him in faith no longer condemnable for Jesus' sake, but now instead forever justified in God's sight, with his sins forgiven through Christ's blood, and the complete, perfectly and endlessly pleasing righteousness of Christ the Savior put to that person's account. This may be the believer's status before God as God's gift of free grace, though the sinner in himself or herself is still so full of sin and struggles with so much sin yet.
God justifies the ungodly who call on him, because all his justification for sinners like us is based on a salvation and righteousness not from within ourselves or accomplished by ourselves, but rather that is freely and fully put to our account by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ the Savior of sinners alone. So Paul says, and also in Romans 10, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. All the righteousness Paul means here, all the righteousness you and I need to be justified before God, is once for all accomplished on sinners' behalf in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Therefore, apart from him, no matter how many good deeds you may accomplish and strive to do, you remain still in your sins, forever condemnable before God, justly so. But to all who confess their sins and call on God for mercy, oh, the Lord is rich unto all such, putting to your account a perfect righteousness that is more than sufficient and just to justify you forevermore. In fact, nothing we ever can do or might do, also as Christians, can add to the righteousness once for all accomplished by Christ for his people, or take away from that righteousness. Yes, the great gospel comfort is also, no matter our remaining sins and sinfulness when Christians, nothing can change or undo the verdict of being justified before God when once we, by grace through faith, believe in Jesus Christ as only Savior and Lord. Paul often addressed those who were looking to their own works and insisting on their own works somehow, some way, to contribute to our justification before God. But it is all in vain. Dear friends, if you are not justified by grace through faith in Christ and by his imputed righteousness, you can never be justified at all. But justified by faith in Christ, no sin that remains in you and that you still struggle with daily can take away from you your once for all justification before God in and through Christ Jesus alone. As one put it, a truly justified person can never again fall under divine condemnation. In fact, isn't this what Paul himself states in Romans 8, verse 1, when he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For sure, how endlessly rich and rapturously thrilling is this biblical teaching on justification when rightly understood and truly received and believed. And to know that my justification is never dependent on my sanctification, but that sanctification always flows out of the free and full justification that we may have in and through Christ and faith in him. And the Reformers were so right, dear friends, when they asserted not only that this is the doctrine by which the church stands or falls, but it is the article also by which you, the Christian, stand or fall. In the book of Galatians, we learn too how easily we can be prone to lose sight of the complete freeness and total graciousness of this gospel as taught in the Bible's teaching of justification. Always we can fall into the trap of somehow thinking that something of ourselves must gain our right standing before God or help to gain his approval. But never is it so, thank God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, says Paul in Romans 5, verse 1. This, dear friends, is the one time all-time gospel message for sinful people like you and me. Is this the gospel you believe in and so love and cherish too, above any and every religion of our works promoted by all the rest of mankind in all their religions in one miserable way or another? Are you someone saved by grace who, with Paul and all God's true people, just can never be thankful enough for the Bible's teaching on justification before God, being saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ only? You see, salvation is of the Lord from start to finish, and we are saved only always by the sheer and abundant grace of God in and through Christ Jesus and his once for all perfect sacrifice for sin, with his shed blood and perfect life given for the salvation of sinners. Come then to Christ, empty of anything to bring before him but your sins and sinfulness, and believe and rejoice in the biblical teaching on justification. How precious and liberating and God-honoring and Christ-exalting is this gospel teaching. To see that more yet, we need to mention still our third main point about justification as the Bible teaches it, being not only so important and so incredible, but so invigorating. I'm running out of time to expand on this point, but let me only mention just the following two fruits of trusting and believing the Bible's teaching on justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ only. For one, how this gives such assurance and confidence in the faith. Oh, if my salvation is all based on and guaranteed for me in a salvation work accomplished outside of me by none other than Christ Jesus, by Christ alone, imputed to me by grace only, through faith only, how can it not be then most sure forevermore for those who look to Christ? Do you see that with me? And the second gracious reality with this doctrine that's so invigorating is that when it's received and believed, how it compels and motivates us so very much in wanting to live all out for God and His glory. You may ask and wonder about this. And the Protestant Reformers, rediscovering the Bible's doctrine of justification, they were charged actually with promoting a life of sin, if salvation is all of grace anyways, so free, so all in Christ. But truthfully, dear friends, the very doctrine of justification, as the Bible teaches us, and when brought home to mind and heart by the Holy Spirit, oh, that promotes holy living, zealously so, like nothing else. Is this what you confess and experience as well, dear friends? Justification, as the Bible teaches it, it is about gospel tidings and salvation from sin. So important, so incredible, and so invigorating. It all comes down to this ultimately, this Christian gospel message. What a Savior of sinners Jesus Christ is, a gracious Savior of sinners with complete and eternal salvation from all sin for as many as trust and follow Him. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. Amen.
Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com. and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.